Well, I had never done one of those tests, and this morning I went to work and the lights were on.
We're starting the recording, so.
Recording in progress.
Call this meeting to order. The zoning board, to my knowledge, we don't have minutes from our last meeting. Does anybody?
We will have them for you, it's just gonna be a while.
To my knowledge, doesn't necessarily mean a whole lot. I'd like to check with others.
I believe we had, the last time we convened, I think we were at least 2 months.
Yeah, there's two meetings, I think, that have to be added together.
I'm sure you're right. I didn't see any unapproved minutes when I looked at them. Anyway, so we'll move on to the first and only appeal for today, which is appeal number 840. Appeal of the applicant's name is Dominic Cavano for an area variance. Applicant is requesting an area variance for construction of a 14-foot by 14-foot shed in the side setback of the property, 159 Redmond Road. The applicant is located within a 1- and 2-family residential R2 district, and a side setback distance of 15 feet is required. The request is for a 10-foot side setback, requiring 5 feet of relief from the required setback dimension. Okay. Are you Mr. Cavano?
Yes.
Okay. Can you tell us a little bit about what you're planning to do?
Looking to install a shed on the side yard. That side yard is kind of close where the part of the building structure is, and I'm just looking to get a little bit more room between the shed that I'm going to put in and the house structure, case I need to get into the back with some trucks or whatever for the swimming pool back there, and have some large trees and stuff up there. I just, you know, feel more comfortable, you know, having a 20-foot space between the house and the Amish shed that I'm proposing to put in.
He had a survey with the application. I think you saw that. I mean, Steve surveyed this entire lot. And I also gave you an aerial photograph, two versions of the staff notes. One was kind of zoomed in. Mm-hmm. And if you look at the zoomed in version, he's looking at the area in front of those two cars that are sitting there in the driveway in the photograph.
Yeah.
So that's the side area that he's looking to enclose.
That's what I thought.
And the shed would go between the house and the
See the white car next to in the shadow of the building?
Yeah.
It's essentially right next to that white car in that area right in there.
You're right in there, yeah.
Because I went out and saw this, when was I out there? Was it November?
Yes.
I think?
Yes.
He asked me to come out, so I went out and looked at it then, and we discussed the idea of maybe putting it in a compliant location, but it is, you know, he feels it's too tight for, you know, maintenance of his house and so on, so he wanted to really go with the variance.
Well, in this aerial picture that you showed, this house is very, very close to the line, isn't it?
Yeah, that's a non-conforming house. Yeah. Pre-existing non-conforming. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So, I mean, I think they're right on the property.
Yeah. It looks like they're right on the line. Yeah.
But the shed wouldn't be up against that house, would you say?
No, there'd still be 10 feet.
Well, it's 10 feet, yeah.
There'd still be 10 feet of separation between the boundary line, the side yard boundary line, and the eave of the shed.
Well, but that's not what I'm asking. I'm really asking, the shed isn't going to be up next to your neighbor's house. It's going to be next to your house, am I right?
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah, it would be back further, yeah.
I mean, if it was...
Oh, yeah, I see. You mean, it won't... Yeah. That neighboring house is very close to the road or closer to the road.
Yeah.
I think the shed will be pushed back.
Yeah, you're going to be bagging more towards your house, right?
Yes, yes.
Yeah. I'd worry about it if it was right up against that house.
Yeah, I see your point. Yeah, I see your point.
Now, is it true that we still, in areas where the lots are 100 foot wide, which there's a lot of houses around here that have... Mm-hmm. that we still stick with the 10-foot setback?
Yes.
Okay.
In the R1 predominantly, because those tend to be smaller lots, and they just, you know, there's less area.
Right. But as I said, that was the way it was when those lots were approved as 100-foot wide, the setback was 10 feet.
Mm-hmm.
So in those areas, we still have a 10-foot setback.
Right? That's correct.
I mean, I'm just using that for a point of reference.
Yep.
That there are areas in the town that is perfectly legal that have a shed 10-foot on the lot.
Yes. Joe Patrick did that, and I carry that forward as well.
Yeah, okay.
I have a question. I usually try to get out and look at these, and I apologize, I didn't. There's just no other place on the property that you could put it, in practically speaking? Is that the idea?
Yes.
Exactly.
It's these trees that we see are in the way if you come back further,
yes.
And you want to have more distance away from the house so that you can have access to, if something comes up that you have to drive
exactly.
back there,
exactly.
you'll be able to drive back there.
Exactly.
I think it's a reasonable request.
Yes, yep.
So it's just wooded in that, because I can't tell from
yes.
that.
Yes. Okay. Yes, it is.
So,
and it is gradually sloping up.
I read that.
And then I think it gets a little steeper as you go farther up.
Yes, it does.
So it would require excavation and water.
Yes.
Yeah.
True.
Yep.
Thank you.
Yep.
In terms of alternatives, you've got a lot of land.
Okay.
Why do you want this shed right there?
The other side of the house and stuff has the, there's a dry well, septic, and the leach field and stuff. So I really don't like putting stuff over there. This area is, closer to the driveway as far as, having better access to the shed. I'm looking to put some of my snow removal equipment mm-hmm. in that shed. I don't want it, up against the driveway right now, because when I use a snow blower to blow the snow, because I want to blow it over into my neighbor's yard, so I blow a lot of the snow up. And when you do that, the years that we had a lot of snow, I'd have very, very high snow banks just along the driveway. So I wanted to set it back just so that wouldn't be a problem or an issue for me as far as kind of burying the shed with snow.
Well, another question. Based on the location, it's kind of the way the survey comes, you have a 19-13-10, which I assume is the proposed. The other one you show is a 14-13-15. So, am I understanding this correctly that if you were to keep and maintain the setback of 15 feet, you would still have 14 foot from the edge of your house to the edge of this?
That is correct.
So, you kind of fit it in there, realistically. You could easily move it over to a 15 foot your home.
I'd rather have the extra 5 feet mm-hmm. just for, peace of mind and, as things are unpredictable as far as, getting access to the backyard, per se, where the pool and stuff is, having that extra 5 feet would, more of a cushion.
I understand. But we are in the R2 district, and there's a 15-foot setback, right? So
that
also that concern.
That is correct.
There's also that concern. We'd be changing this for the length of this property. We'd be changing that setback line. So again, 14-foot. It's ample to get it in the driveway. It's ample for the equipment. It's not narrow. It's not a goat path. 14-foot line is wider than the lane, right?
Yeah, it's on a incline a little bit.
If you were to get a truck in the back, you could clearly go through that space. 14-foot would be a truck in the back, yeah, right? Vehicles are 8, 10 foot wide. 14-foot can't sneak in, right?
Yes.
Yeah. The other option, of course, would be you don't need a 14 by 14 shed. It could be 12 by 18, 10 by 25. You could also change the shape of the shed, right? So there is some practical alleviation, there's some practical things that would take care of all your concerns and still maintain the R2 district and maintain the setback, right? I've actually got three ideas in 3 minutes. So there's definitely some practical solutions here. I know, I guess, what would prevent you from doing one of those ad hoc amenities that I just brought up?
On the application, it does list it as a 12 by 16 with 1 foot of stone on each side of the foundation of the shed. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I believe that's why we put the 14 in there. So that would, you know, reduce that by no foot, I guess. Mm-hmm.
But I guess the question is, why not? Why not reduce it?
The shed?
Yeah.
Well, to be honest, I mean, I have already purchased the shed. The shed is, you know, awaiting at the shed facility. I did not realize until after doing more research as far as what the setbacks were. So, I mean, you know, that is my fault. That's definitely my fault. I didn't realize that it would be 15 feet away from the fence. I was just very surprised that it was, you know, that much. I mean, because, you know, you look in other areas in that area, and you see a lot of sheds and stuff, you know, closer to the fence, to the property line. So, I mean, you know, I wanted to, you know, do it correctly because I didn't know what the consequences would be if, you know, I just put it in and then whenever they did a house assessment or a property assessment, they would notice that, and I didn't know whether they would, you know, enforce me or have me move it. That's why, you know.
You're better off to do it this way.
Then, yes. So, you know, that's my fault for not checking into it beforehand.
The town's better off too, so we appreciate you doing that. So you already have bought this shed.
That's correct.
Existing, essentially.
I just didn't realize that the setback was that
great. It's a shame, but it's significant, and I think it's...
So if I'm hearing what you were saying about the when you were doing this figure, you're going to have a foot of stone around it.
That's correct.
So was the measurement that you were looking for against the foot of stone, or is it against the shed?
It's against the shed.
Okay. So the stone would directly match the driven, right?
Well, no, it doesn't count. I just wanted to make sure that he wasn't adding that into the... Yeah.
And we do have a properly noticed public hearing, properly advertised.
Was there any correspondence?
No written correspondence came in, but... I think we do have one person here as a result.
Would you like to speak to this?
I just came in support of Donna. He's my neighbor, and I'm in favor of it.
And your name is? And where do you
live? Oh, you might forget.
I told you to ask you.
It's Bill Elder, and I'm at 161 Redmond Road.
Now, just for, are you on the near side where the shed's going to be? Is that your house?
Yes.
Okay. Oh, you're the one right next door to him?
Yes.
Okay. You're the one most impacted.
Yeah, you would be the most impacted, yeah.
So you have no problem with it?
I'm a slower. Put it right on the line if you want.
We talked about it.
We like neighbors like you. I said we like neighbors like you. You want to move over on 197?
Well, unfortunately, I don't have a neighbor in family. Thank you.
We have talked about reducing that, but I don't know if it's going to come about with this.
No, it's going to be in the first draft, that's for sure. Because it causes, I think, a lot of problems. Yes. It's hard to justify.
The fact that we have such a big setback for the sheds, for the storage sheds.
Well, no,
they can be a 50 from the property line, not really. It's a lot.
That's what we're dealing with currently.
Yeah, I think it's do you have any other questions from the board?
So is that the extent of the public hearing? You can close it, I guess.
I think we'll close it. I don't think we have any other people that are going to speak. So let's close the public hearing. And I'm going to review the requirements, okay? You've already filled out the form. I think our new form is very nice. It has all the criteria right on it, which is good.
That's the idea.
Yeah. So the first requirement is that the strict application said dimensional requirement should result in a specific practical difficulty to the applicant. And we talked about the fact that, you know, that
well, there's some difficulties.
Yeah.
There's some difficulties in the level of the ground and the trees that he has there. So it's not 100% difficult, but there are some.
And while I'm not inclined to just say, well, you know, we bought it and use it, I think it was bought in good faith. And from what I'm hearing, I don't think you intended to pull wool out of anybody's eyes by buying it ahead of time.
No.
So that's, you know, I think that matters. The next one is how substantial the required variance is in relation to the requirements. We're looking at a 32% relief. And we don't really have one standard for being substantial, but we talked about 50%. Anything over 50% would be unacceptable. It falls within that range. But I mean, that's a pretty old standard. We've been using that for forever. But you know, it is substantial, but it's not huge.
Mm-hmm.
The next is that the difficulty can be alleviated by some practical methods feasible for the applicant to pursue. We discussed this in some, you know, that there are some limitations, as Jim's notes say, in terms of the lot. And I also think, you know, in terms of locating it somewhere else, your point that you want to be able to use your snowblower, have your snowblower in the shed makes a lot of sense.
Oh, absolutely. You don't want to have a shed. No. 100 feet in the backyard.
This is the place you want it. And the size that you want it is because you already have it that size. I mean, and you can move it closer. I do think you can move it closer to your house and still have adequate space to move through there. I think your argument that you want to have good space between the shed and the house is okay, you know.
What's a reasonable?
It's not unreasonable. The next is that there will be no substantial change in the character of the neighborhood or detriment to the adjoining properties. I don't think so. The neighbor doesn't think so. I don't know that the board thinks so. If anybody disagrees with me, I'm going to please say so. The next is that the condition is that the variance will not be materially detrimental to the purpose of the chapter or to property in the district in which the property is located or otherwise conflict with the description or purpose of the district or the objectives of any plan or policy. And that the variance request is minimum variance which would alleviate a specific practical difficulty found by the zoning boards to affect the applicant. And we did explore the possibility of alternative locations. I think we've satisfied that. I feel that, you know, the fact that personally I feel that, you know, in terms of alternatives, it's good that it's back away from the next door neighbor. It's not right up against the house.
Yeah, that's cool.
That's good too. You know, I don't see what, since that's the case, I mean, when you look at it, it's not going to look like you're right up against your neighbor. It's not going to look funny. It's not going to look weird. I think it's going to be acceptable in terms of the neighborhood.
It seems to me, from my perspective, that this comes down to, you know, the applicant has expressed some desire for the location. You know, they're based upon his preferences, you know, to live in his home, you know, snow blowing, that kind of thing. And that needs to be weighed against the detriment to the neighborhood. You know, is there a detriment to the relief requested? And in weighing those two things, Now, I'm not saying there's not alternative locations, and you technically could put it, you know, at the 15-foot mark. You could.
But I don't think that...
But he's expressed a desire not to do that, and that should be weighed against what is the detriment of shifting it that 5 feet.
Right. Yeah, but we also have to weigh the fact that it's an R2 district. It is a 15-foot setback, which is ample space. And if he moves, in fact, to within the setback, he still has almost 15 feet to his house. Unless you're two drip edges, you still have 12 feet wide. So this can be alleviated. So the chairman just read five more criteria that we go after every time, the same five. And as far as I'm concerned, two of them weren't really met. Number one, strict application would result in a specified practical difficulty. I disagree. I think 12 foot is more than ample to drive through, more than ample to blow snow. And then also on number three, the difficulty cannot be alleviated by some other practical means or methods. We've all discussed that that's absolutely possible. If we can alleviate this without breaking without the variance. If this can be alleviated, and RTO can be solved without changing the code, the R2 district is assigned to this area for a reason. R1 is a 10-foot setback. This is R2. And I don't like the idea of setting the precedence that we're going to change the R2 to a 10-foot for sheds in this year. Right now, we have rules. We have five criteria. I feel he's completed 3 out of 5. To me, that's really quite past the threshold, in my opinion, personally. Because, again, we literally still have 14 feet between the building and the house. It's not going to be 2 foot against it. He has ample room to drive a truck through there. I mean, Kevin, you drive a truck more than I do.
I don't think that he had a problem getting the vehicle through there. But I think, first off, I don't think we're setting precedent. Because we never set precedent when we granted variance. It's not setting a precedent. It's each variance that comes before the board is based on what is presented for that hearing. I think that you have made points that are reasonable, but I also feel that you also have to take into consideration what the person that owns the property wants and what is going to make them, you know, we have to be able to compromise on these things.
In fairness to Matt, I think, you know, the issue, though, also is it does look like a sizable lot.
And
the rules are the rules. And if you do it in this case, you know, it's not precedent, but it becomes an expectation. And that's my only reservation. I understand what you're saying. We review these. The purpose of this board is to review these situations on a case-by-case basis.
Yeah.
But
and
that's the main point is, you know, I completely understand. Jim's been there, you've been there to your property. If you're telling me that it would require a significant amount of tree work and excavation, that's a practical consideration. To me, the distance from the house doesn't seem like if you moved it back, it would be a huge, you know, it would be a significant issue or challenge, detriment, but it's a case-by-case basis type of a thing. So, to your point, I see both sides.
I mean, I think that we could be, I guess it depends on how each of us interpret what our role is. I mean, if we want to stick right to the letter of the code, and that's the law, and that's the way it is, then, you know, we can do that.
Well, no, I think you're right, Kevin, that the point is to look at case-by-case basis. And we had many times on this board, it's an irregular lot, and there's a practical difficulty. Again, Justin, we just did the last meeting, we had one where there's a difficulty with cost constraints, which is questionable, but we go through those as case-by-case basis. I guess for me, it's the distance that you can actually meet the requirement. You can meet the requirement and still have room between the two. That's what's for me. I'm finding the hardship. When there's a hardship, I'll be somewhat lenient on that, to be honest with you, because, again, part of our job is to make those compromises. But in this instance, I'm not feeling it. I'm not feeling the hardship particularly. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that's just that's what I'm looking at right now based on what we've been presented with.
How would you feel about moving it over closer to the garage?
I mean, you know, I submitted the variance just to have the cushion of the 19 feet versus the 14 feet. I mean, it just seems to be, because you can never predict the future. So, I mean, it's more of, you know, just trying to look ahead and also with the, you know, the elevation of the area that I'm putting it in. And I really don't want to do a lot of excavation and more work or more expense that I have to do.
My understanding of not just our role, but the state, you know, the state law in terms of this, is that area variances are much easier for an applicant to prove the need for than a use variance. And that the criteria are there, but they don't have to necessarily meet all of the criteria. That they, you know, that it's, it is a weighing of the benefit versus the benefits of the applicant versus the detriment to the community. And
right.
Martin often was talking about that. He talks a lot about the years.
Oh, Martin.
When he was our attorney.
Oh, Martin, yes, yes.
But he, but that's, you know, that's my understanding, is that it's not as strict interpretation that we all have to
be. It's a strict interpretation. Right. You know, we're open to interpretation.
And I mean, I think you
know what you're saying. You know, this could be, you could actually get, you know, you could bring the thing back and sort of whatever. I don't know.
Well, you can move it back further, cut trees down, and put it back in there, and, you know, that's, but I think that he, I think he's made a reasonable, in my book, and I mean, everybody has the right to their feelings. In my book, I feel he's gave a reasonable request, and the reason why is that he wants to have a little extra room between the house and the shed. I understand that. I don't feel like it certainly, if we were to grant this and it's 10 foot off the line, if you drive down Redmond Road, you're not going, that's not going to stick. You'll never notice it. You'll never know that that was 10 foot off the line.
Agreed.
It's not going to impact the neighborhood at all. The neighbor that's next door is totally in favor of it. And I feel like, you know, I think he's made a reasonable request. I think he wants to have a snowblower there, and he wants to have a little extra room between that and house. I mean, we did discuss about driving something through, but that's not necessarily the full reason he wants it there. There's a little bit of a difference in the elevations. It makes it work where he wants to put it. I mean, I really don't feel like it's that much of an ask. I really don't.
It does seem that you're concerned about that, having that space. Do you, and you've mentioned down the road, do you foresee at some point having had machines, equipment in there to develop any of that land or to clear any of it or anything?
No, I mean, not at this time, no.
But is that part of your reasoning is for wanting that,
yeah,
that additional space between the
yeah,
house?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, it's more of, you know, an access issue. To, you know, make sure that I just, you know,
if a situation arose where you needed to do something or wanted to do something with that down the road, you wouldn't have to relocate your shed.
Yes.
And you've also said that you throw the snow over that way.
Yes. Yes.
So you would have some, so that would be a larger, the closer it was to that area, it would be more problems for your snow removal and your snowblower.
Can I ask you a question?
I don't know if this would make a difference in any of us sitting here or you, but you're looking for 5 feet for the.
Yes.
If it was offered to you to split that with you, would that would lower our percentage of relief? Would that be something that might be a compromise to you?
I guess if, you know, the 33%, you know, is asking much. I mean, I guess
the percentage is not always the factor here. You know, you put a lot of different options and comments and thoughts. I just was brainstorming sitting here listening. I didn't know if that was something that you would be willing to do.
I definitely would prefer the 5 feet. I mean, just for, you know, like I said, as far as peace of mind and you know, not being able to predict the future as far as getting back behind the house, doing whatever.
The other aspect of this that struck me when I was there was and I know this on my own yard because I have two sheds on my yard. Once you place the building, that is an effective demarcation, or it establishes place, is my point. So once the shed goes in, that dimension on the other side, whether it be 10 feet or 15 feet, is for all practical purposes going to be rendered useless. I mean, you're just not going to go over there.
It's never used.
You know, he has the entrance, I believe you have a side entrance on that side of the house, correct?
Yes.
So the point is, you know, your yard is essentially going to be that space between the house and the shed.
Right, that's all you're going to have for yard on that side.
I understand it's his property on the other side, but I know, like, with my two sheds, the area on the other side of those sheds is no man's land.
Right.
Once it's built, I never go back there.
Right.
So, you know, for whatever that's worth, too, I understand about the access way and all that, but, you know, if he wants to put a patio out there someday, you know, between the house and the shed, you know, this is the place to go out and enjoy the yard.
Yeah.
You know, that yard now width is going to be reduced by that amount. Where the shed line ends is going to, it's going to limit the practical use of that lot.
Yeah. Well, I think that's a valid point. I think it's a very good point.
Those are all valid points. As far as looking forward, One situation I could envision is if somebody else bought a house, it wasn't you, and that person was really, they for whatever reason, they thought it was too close. You know, who knows what the future holds in that regard. And I just think, you know, to Matt's point, there are other alternatives, but I see your point, and I totally understand what you're saying, too. I mean, you don't want to look at it as though it was me, but if it was me, Jim said, well, if you want to put a patio in there or something. I mean, your reasons are your reasons.
Mm-hmm.
So I understand that.
And I don't think anybody, they can't challenge your question. I mean, you know, they say question anything, but they certainly couldn't challenge it if somebody bought the house next door to them.
Well, that's...
I mean, it's just like when this guy built this house, I'm sure he couldn't say anything about that house. I mean, that's just
fair enough. As long as that's, you know, you just want to.
Yeah, the side setback for this property is still 15 feet.
Yeah.
We're just giving.
We're just giving that one thing.
So, I mean, it is sort of a precedent in the sense somebody else can come and say, well, you did this for this guy.
Which isn't likely.
It's different. It really is weighing that detriment versus to the community versus the benefit for the.
Yeah, every applicant that comes into the office who happens to want to discuss with me, you know, this is not precedent. The board looks at these on a case-by-case basis on their own and the individual merits of the application.
Right. We have to base it up. We've had the house, the properties were then, they've got two sites up there.
And I think that, you know, if this ever came a legal issue on, you know, I'm not saying on this application, but in the future, you look at the records and the minutes since I've been here, I've seen each and every deliberation, and it has been on its individual merits.
Wonderful.
There's no looking back to another case, and because we did it there, we're going to do it here. That's never discussed.
Wouldn't there be anything you would consider doing it that way?
Well, that's comforting.
You're the house right across the entrance from Evergreen, right?
That's correct.
And everything behind you goes.
Yeah.
Now, to Scott's point, you know, I do think, you know, you've done that in the past too. If you can't find consensus on the amount requested, you know, would 11 work, would 12 work, or, you know, some number in between the request and the requirement?
Yeah. We've looked at if he's asking for 5 foot relief. And if we reduce it to 3 foot, it still would only be taken 2 feet away from what he wants to do. If we reduce it to 3 foot, would that work for you?
an even number that's needed to contribute 20%, which would help reduce the existing automatic question. So that's what I think. That's why moving you 2 feet back, it's still giving you a pretty good factor.
You know, you did bring up a good point about, you know, the space between the shed and the fence is, you know, just useless kind of, it's what you said.
Oh, I agree. Well, that provides the access that you're looking for. We keep referring to access if you leave it 15 foot off, back in that 15 foot hole. You can't get around the building step. That's why that 15 foot. Well, if you had, it's not useless to provide access to your pool, which is one of your primary concerns.
Access to the backyard, that's great, and with the snow and stuff like that, just, you know.
I really have no problem with 5 foot, to be honest. I think it's not that a lot of people request it. I think he's got a lot of the land rises up the back and trees, but, you know, I think his use of it, where he wants to have it sitting, is not going to be a, it's really not asking for a lot. I personally feel like this is something that we should be able to do for him.
I have to agree. I think a 10-foot setback between that shed and the property line is just going to fit in just fine with that neighborhood, even though it was R2.
Yeah.
And the fact that the neighbor's house is set forward from this house makes it even less noticeable. I agree.
Neighbor is in support. So
I don't know if you want to.
Well, I guess we, any other further discussion, can we entertain a motion? We can still discuss.
I think we've discussed it, though.
Yes, I think we have.
We've discussed it. We've kicked that dog.
Is there a motion?
Yes, sir.
I will make a motion that we approve the area variance for appeal number 840 as requested.
And I'll second.
And we will include the conditions that we discussed as part of the motion. Not conditions, I'm sorry.
The justification.
The justification, as we discussed.
Yeah, there are no conditions, right?
No conditions, just justification.
Well, the only one double check is because it's a shed and not a true, is it considered still the same rules as an accessory building on the site? So it's 15 foot, the 10 foot variance would be from drip edge.
I explained that to him. It's measured from the edge
of the eave. Yeah,
it's not the wall. It's 1 or 2 foot eave on the shed. It's measured from the edge of the
eave. It's right from the eave. So any part of that structure, it has to be from that.
That's what from that, like I said.
Yeah.
Any further discussion? Okay, would you pull the board, please?
I love it.
Before you do that, I just want to say I'm sorry. There's no need for secret, right, Jim?
Yeah, that's correct. And I would acknowledge that in the record that this is a type of action.
Yes,
I'm sorry. Megan Manning?
I don't know.
Scotty Simmons?
Yes.
Gerhard Endel?
Yes.
Kevin Elms?
Yes.
Justin Farrell?
Yes.
Okay. Pass.
There you are.
You're approved.
We thank you.
You can ask. You can put it under building.
You need good points.
Yeah, no, I.
You just make sure you show that to that guy your building permit
lot.
Just make sure you.
I appreciate you coming forward.
I hope you will.